I want you to turn to 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. If you would stand at the reading of God's Word. 'Preciate the day the Lord's give us. I told them Sunday that I was thankful that I could live and move and have being. We were singing that song, "I Never Shall Forget the Day." My mother has Alzheimer's. She doesn't really know me. A lot of times I sing to her. I have a captivated audience. I just like to sing. Well, I sang her that song one morning a few months ago. "I never shall forget that day." I finished and I said, "Mama, I remember when the Lord saved me." I said, "Do you remember the day the Lord saved you?" And she looked over her glasses and she said, "Well, yes." I'm glad that there's some things that can still live in your heart. And I bless His name. But I can live and move and have being. I was able to choose the tie, clothes I wore at the discretion of my wife. I think them's pretty wise choices myself. I want to say that I spoke to Brother Ken. I'm going to have to leave shortly after I preach. I got word this afternoon we have a man having surgery early in the morning. And I spoke to Brother Seamster too. I don't like to do things like that. When I come to a meeting, I like to throw my heart into it. I'm there. If I'm not a preacher, I'm trying to help somebody who is. You know? Because when I preach, I want somebody to help me. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, I will not be long at what I do. In verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" When you got sin in your life, it brings terror and guilt. And he said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal, of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. You can be seated. I'm interested in verse number 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. Last night we looked at Joseph, the brother who overcomes. Tonight I want to look at David. He is the brother who is overlooked. Jesse brings every one of his sons except David, because Jesse thought he was too young. Jesse thought that he was not qualified to be a king. And he put him in charge of looking after the sheep. He set him aside. Don't you know that David must have felt unimportant and insignificant in the eyes of his father Jesse? He is overlooked. He is set aside. But I'm glad that there was a God in heaven that had his eye on David down there in the pasture land, as he is watching after his daddy's sheep, and God brought him to the forefront. And tonight, sometimes you may feel like you're not in the lineup, but just remember
At any given moment, God can call you to the big league. Hallelujah to His name. David is the brother who is overlooked. There are times when we may feel like somebody else is in the limelight. Somebody else is being recognized and we're set aside. But just remember, the Lord has His eye on His children. And God knows how to promote. And God knows when to promote. God knows how to bring a man to the forefront and put him on the headlines to the glory of His name. There are three main emphases in this story about David. I just want to deal with one of them tonight. You'll find that there are three different characters involved. There is the prophet Samuel. He's involved in what's going on. And I'm here to tell you, there's not going to be anything spiritually going on around the church house unless the man of God is involved in it. You can't bypass the man of God. You can't go behind the man of God's back. You can't accomplish something by hoodwinking the preacher. He's going to be involved in it. Then there is the parent, Jesse. He is the one responsible for 7 of his 8 sons passing before Samuel. And then there is the pick, David. I'm glad I can identify with that picking business. Amen. Ever picked apples? Ever gone to the grocery store and picked you out a good neighbor? You know what you do? You pick the one you want. Hallelujah. When the Lord went to fishing for me and the Lord went to fishing for you, He wanted me. He wanted you. That's what fishing's all about. He did it on purpose. That wasn't by coincidence. He did it on purpose when He picked us. But for a few moments, I just want to look at the prophet Samuel and the part he plays in David's anointing of king over Israel. Number one, I want you to note that there is a principle concerning sorrow seen in the life of Samuel the prophet. Verse 1 says, Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Samuel is saddened. Samuel is full of grief. Samuel is mourning. And he is wanting Saul really to remain as the king over Israel. He is doing everything in his power. He is overwhelmed with what has occurred. But Samuel finds himself in a dilemma. God said, Samuel, it's not time to have sorrow over Saul. It's time to anoint a king over all of Israel. He's filled with sorrow. God's rejection of Saul has nothing to do with Samuel. Saul has rebelled against God. Saul took his hands off of the prophet and the priesthood in offering up sacrifices when he should have left his hands off of it. He disobeyed God in destroying the Amalekites and sparing the king and the cattle, and he got in trouble with God, and the Lord had cut him off. But Samuel is mourning. He is filled with sorrow concerning Saul. He is hanging on to a thread of hope that maybe things can work out. But the Lord says, I rejected Saul from being king. I want you to anoint another king. Now tonight, the Lord does not condemn sorrow. That does not interfere with His will. The Bible says that the Lord will honor and bless a broken and contrite spirit. Christ Himself looked over Jerusalem and wept and said, how long would I have gathered you like a hen to a third brood? He wept over the unbelief and rebellion of His own people. God does not chide you and I for that kind of sorrow. He doesn't chide us for sorrow we have over those who are lost or those who are rebellious. In fact, there needs to be more weeping and more confession shown in that area. But Samuel's mourning is different. Samuel just cannot let go of Saul being king over Israel. Did you know there's a lot of people in the church house? They just can't let go of things. They're moping around about things that happened 10 years ago. They're mully grubbing about things that occurred 8 or 12 years ago. They just can't let go. And it's overwhelmed them. They're full of sorrow. They've lost the joy. They've lost their testimony. And tonight, some of us have faced things just in the past few months, and we just can't seem to let go of them. Samuel just couldn't let go of Saul. He has sorrow. There was no need for Samuel to plead for Saul. There was no use for him to beg for mercy concerning Saul. But God had already gave the ultimatum that He had rejected Saul king over all of Israel. This is why the Lord rebuked Samuel for his sorrow. You see, mourning which submits to the will of God while it weeps, the Lord is pleased with. And the Lord is pleased with mourning which never interferes with duty. The kind of sorrow that He rejects is sorrow that deepens into an accusation against God's providence, or tears which have blinded us to the duties that we're to perform as a child of God. Hey, I'm here to tell every one of us, we're all faced with difficulties. We're all faced with trials. But tonight, we can't get bogged down in it. We can't let it blind us. We can't let us let it cause us to accuse God of doing wrong, for He always does right. There's a lot of preachers can't let go of how that church treated them. You're going to have to let go of that. Some folks, they're mourning over what somebody said about them. What somebody accused them of. What somebody did to them. Say, preacher, you ever been stabbed in the back? Sure have. And the longer I live, the more target I become, I reckon. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is nowhere to quit, there is nowhere to give up. Oh no, you say, the Lord has forgot about me. Oh no, the church may have forgot about you. Your dad and mama might have forgot about you. Your brother might have forgot about you. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven. God is our little David. Tell your friend the pastor, he knows where you're at tonight. Principle about sorrow. The Bible's got a cure for it. I ain't no doctor, but I know where some good medicine's at. I mean, it's right here in the Scripture. You're feeling sorry for yourself and you're grieving over what's happened in the past and you just can't get by it and can't get over it. Oh, preacher, it's so hard to serve, and I'm not minimizing what you've gone through. Don't misunderstand it tonight. But I'm here to tell you there is a cure for it. And God surely cures Samuel in a good hurry. You know what the Lord said? He said, fill your horn with oil and go anoint one of Jesse's sons king over all Israel. Amen. You know what the Lord was saying to Samuel? He said, I want you to go to work. I want you to do my will. I want you to follow my bidding. And tonight, that's the thing that'll get you and I out of our deep sorrow and our mournful spirit. Hey, it'll break loose the other lines that are holding you back that you can't seem to get beyond. What you need to do is go to work. You need to be used by God. Hey, preacher, I tell you what you ought to do Sunday morning. You ought to get you along with God. Get a message on your heart. Mount that pulpit and preach like your toothpails of fire. Go to help somebody. Go to be a blessing to somebody. Hey, no use to bully grab and to feel sorry for yourself. God called you. God laid his hand on you. Well, you just don't know what they said about me. Well, you don't know what they said about me either. You know what God told Elijah when he was in the cave? Feeling sorry for himself. I'm the only one that's fed. I'm the only one that's been through. The Lord reminded him there's a whole lot more that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. He got to that cave of that mouth, or the mouth of that cave, and the earthquake come. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And the wind went to blowing, and the Lord wasn't in the wind. And the fire came, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. But there's a still small voice that rumbled in his heart. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, now, Elijah, I want you to stay right here and hang your head and feel sorry for yourself, because you are the only one that loves me. Oh, no. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, arise and get thee over and anoint Lord Hazael, king over Assyria, and anoint Jehu, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha in thy stead as a prophet unto Israel. You know what the Lord was saying? Go to work! Go to work! Go to work! Go to work! Go to preaching! Go to praying! Go to worshiping! Go to witnessing! Go to work! Go to work! Go to work! Principle about sorrow. Number two, there is a principle about service. The Lord said, fill thine horn with oil and go anoint one of Jesse's sons king over Israel, for I have provided me among his sons a king. It was an act of service. And the Lord said, fill your horn with oil. Now how ridiculous would it have been for Samuel to carry an empty horn to Jesse's house. And he said, I've come to anoint one of your boys king over Israel. And then all of a sudden, when he uncorks the horn, he didn't have no oil. Reminds me of some times in my own life I've stepped in the pulpit and all of a sudden I realized I didn't have no oil in the horn. Trying to do the work of God in my own strength, in my own abilities. Oh God, help us tonight. We need our horn full of oil. If we're going to do the Lord's business of anointing a king, you've got to have some oil in your horn. You can't go empty-handed. You can't go unprepared. You can't go without the necessary tools and the necessary requirements. You've got to have some oil in your horn. You've got to have the Holy Ghost on your life. You can't preach. I can't preach unless I've got the Holy Ghost catches our life. Now, I've done a pretty good job with some outlines before that didn't amount to hell of beans. And I need to tell you, it goes further than just preachers. A lot of you on Sunday morning stand before that Sunday school class. You ain't got a bit of oil in your horn, and you're trying to divide the Word of God, and you're dead. You're just a letter, and you don't have no spirit about you. Amen. Amen. That is good preaching, ain't it? You gotta have some oil in your horn. You gotta have some help from above. You can't do it in yourself. I can't do it in myself. We gotta have divine intervention. Now that does not excuse us for laziness. You know, some people hear that this kind of preaching and they think, well, all I got to do is just open up my Bible and stand behind that pulpit and the Lord is going to touch me and fill me with what He wants me to say. I want you to try that about three times in a row. You'll run out. You'll preach the same message three times. You'll repeat yourself. God, give us some men that have the Spirit of God on their life. Hey, that does not discount for the times when I stood in that pulpit and I didn't have time to prepare providential things that stood in my way. Maybe God changed me as I first went into the pulpit. Didn't know what I was going to do. Felt like I'd done the worst I'd ever done in my life. And all of a sudden, God does the most in the invitation I've seen in a long time. And He proves that it's not what I would doing that gets it done. It's what He's doing that brings about the consequences. You've got to have some oil in your horn. And I just want to drive home another point I mentioned last night about this age in which we're living. You know, the younger generation, they want things just right now. They're impatient. They make hasty choices and decisions without thinking through them. They want things. They want to get from point A to point M without having to go through B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. They want to get all the way to point M all of a sudden. I got news for you. The Lord don't work that way. Say, how do you know? Well, it's right here in the Scripture. God said to Samuel, I want you to go to Jesse's, call Jesse to the sacrifice, and said, I provided me a king among his sons. And that's all the Lord told him. He started at point A. He's going to point B. When he gets to Bethlehem, that's as far as Jesse or Samuel knows to go. He's called Samuel. Now he's moving on to point C. Samuel's sons are moving before him. And he thinks, Eliab must be the king because he's head and shoulders taller than anybody else. Then finally, in a progressive way, God shows Samuel who the king really is. It took a while, but God got him there. Let me say this tonight, and I want to say it like I read it. The way to see farther ahead is to go as far as we see right now. We want to know what's going to happen. Why don't you go to listen to God when He says to go to point B? And when you get to point B, just know He'll give you some insight and He'll lead you to point C. Hey, it's a progressive kind of service. Number three, not only a principle about sorrow and a principle about service, but there is also a principle about salvation in this Old Testament story. Let me read it to you. And I'm soon going to be done. Samuel said in verse number 2, how can I go? If the Lord, or if Saul hears that I've gone, he'll kill me. And he was telling the truth. Saul was in that mindset. Okay, you get a man terrified and a man full of envy and jealousy, he's just liable to do anything. He's just liable to lead the church. He's just liable to stab the man of God in the back. He'll kill you. I know some of you don't like that, but you need to hear it anyhow. Okay, I stood behind my pastor all the days of my life. Till I was 19 and a half year old, I was faithful to the house of God. I may have not agreed with everything he ever did, but I never did disagree with what he did do. I stood behind him, held his hands up, prayed for him, tried to help him along the way, drove him to revival meeting. I didn't talk about him and run him down. I tried to be a blessing to him.
But he's full of fear. And rightly so. He's afraid. If Saul hears about it, why, it ain't going to be long. He's going to kill every priest at Nob. It don't make no difference to Saul. And Samuel's full of fear. Look what the Lord says. Let me borrow your Bible. The Lord saith, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. You know what will leave Samuel of his fear? You know what dissipated his terror? The Lord said, go offer a sacrifice. Did you know there's a day in your life and mine when fear and guilt hung over our head? I remember that night he convicted me of my sins. I was fearful. I thought, I knew that if I died that night without getting saved, I was going to hell. It scared me to death. I was full of fear. But as John Newton wrote, the grace of God taught my heart to fear. The same grace my fears relieved. Hey, you know what settled Samuel's fear? It was the offering of a sacrifice. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's another sacrifice made on Calvary's cross. And when you were full of fear, you thought you was going to die and go to hell and should have. There was a sacrifice. There was a payment. There was an atonement. There was a price that had been paid. I say, hallelujah. That's the only way we ought to get saved. Woo! Glory to His name. It's in the Lord. David is the brother who is overlooked. He's just out there minding his own business. He wasn't mumbling underneath his breath when my bus got up. My daddy ought not to do me this way. And by the way, I just believe you ought to take your whole family to church. I don't care how little they are. I think they all need to be in service. Well, the Holy Ghost is there. Now, you may do things different. If you do, it's fine. But just leave me alone. I want my grandboy to be around when the Holy Ghost goes to moving and folks go to praising God. Hey, they'll learn what old time worship's all about. They'll understand what real praise and adoration is all about. You say, it'll have no effect. Oh, I beg to differ with you. I'm glad when John in Elizabeth's womb heard Mary say it, taken. Old John leaped in his mama's womb because he heard about the Savior that is a coming. I say, glory to God, even before he is born. It's no telling. He is overlooked. But I'm glad God didn't forget about him. God had a plan and a purpose for his life. I bless the Lord.